Episode 15 of the Graddock Sports Weekly Podcast is here. Man, we are super excited about it. Joining me in the bunker this week, unfortunately, Billy not with us. We wish him well and hope to have him back next week. But we got Coach Nick White. Coach, how's it going?
Going to do my best to fill the shoes of Billy Lindahl. Wish he was here. I know he'll be back next week. But excited to be here. Excited to talk with Brock and talk a little volleyball today, too.
Yeah, we've got Katrina Sullivan, the head coach of the Bremen Blue Devils, in her first season. So she's walking right into the new program for the Blue Devils. I believe this is their second full year. Don't quote me on that, but second full year of volleyball. And she's stepping right in. She was the JV coach last year. And then, of course, Coach Lauren Sanders, who was on the first ever Carrollton volleyball team her freshman year in high school. And now she's the head coach in her second full season. So we'll get to talk to those ladies about coaching and the whole pandemic. Is Coach, a month from today, we'll be doing media day, and then 3 weeks after that, we've got season starting. I know the official start date is August 1st, so is when you can start, you know, playing games and all that kind of stuff. So it's right around the corner.
It is. It's right around the corner. I feel like we've stayed the course. We're implementing each phase to see the GHSA move as quickly as they have in growing groups from 20 to 50 and being able to combine groups and those types of things. It's an absolute positive sign that we'll be moving forward in the fall with high school athletics. And so I'm looking forward to talking to some ladies that are getting their teams ready to do that.
Yeah, next week is going to be the dead week, and I know that I believe you're going to the beach again.
Yeah, so I hate
that we're going to miss you here, but yep. I want you to go enjoy your time with the family. So nothing can be done next week from Monday, or I guess from Sunday to Sunday.
That's correct.
July the 6th is when everything can get started back. So dead week.
You guys
week.
Have potential, A, to have a good show, and B, not to talk any wrestling next week. So that's, I mean, there's positives for you guys.
I got to bring something up about wrestling. But
maybe I'll call in.
Baseball's back, Coach.
You know what? It's finally, I'll tell you what, I'll do my rant and then I'll let you be positive about it. Okay.
Go right
ahead. We'll yin and yang this thing. Hey, about time, guys. Congratulations on doing the right thing. You've decided to choose right. It took you a lot longer than it took the rest of the world, I think, to do so. But I'm excited that they're back for the American people, because we really need something like one of our big three to come back and get them on TV, and people can start rooting for the color of your team's jersey, which I think is important, which will include a lot of people. And so, you know, I'm excited about that. I've been upset with them for the last 3 or 4 weeks for them continuing to elongate this process as opposed to applying some much needed salve to the American people. But they've finally done it. So good for you guys. We'll all get ready to chop on here in the next little bit. So Matt, tell us how excited you are to watch the Tomahawk Chop, baby.
Well, I'm very excited. One, I want to make sure that fans are allowed in the stands. And that's a big thing for me, because obviously I'd love going to a game. My family's going down to Tampa. We're going to Clearwater, that area, to the beach the last week in July, and the Tampa Bay Rays could be in town, so I'd love to see I'd love to see a game in that crappy ballpark. I don't know if you've ever heard of Tropicana Field. It's in a dome.
I sure have.
It's absolutely terrible, but I want to. That's a bucket list thing, to go to as many stadiums as I possibly can. So
we'll
see about that. But the crazy thing to me about baseball being back is they basically just circled the wagon, right? They said that they were going to do this. They said they were going to have 60 games and all this. And back in March, and what do? We waited, you know, 2.5 months to come back to what we originally stated. And this is what's going to happen. 60 games going to be on the schedule starting July 24th. Okay, spring training will begin. They're going to be at their individual stadiums. They're not going to be going to their spring training sites, which is the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you don't want a bunch of teams down in spring training sites. So everybody's going to come together starting July the 1st. Expanded rosters, I believe that's going to be 30 players on each roster, which is very beneficial to the Braves because the pitching aspect, there's a lot of different questions whether or not who's going to be the DH, because that's also another rule. There's a DH, so you got 60 games in 2.5 months, basically, and then there's going to be an expanded playoffs. And then another kind of dumb thing to me, only playing the schedule of NL East versus AL East. So they'll play NL East opponents and AL East opponents only, which really and truly, that kind of hurts the Braves a little bit, because the AL East is pretty talented with the Yankees, and of course the Red Sox are kind of down, but the Orioles and the Blue Jays. So more difficult opponents. But the extra inning game, so to kind of help out with not playing as much, they're going to put a runner on second base to start the 10th inning.
Throwing it back old school, baby. Dizzy Dean rules. Yeah. Dizzy Dean,
slow
Southeastern
pitch, slow
World
pitch softball
Championships
rules.
Of Oxford. No, you know what? That's a good thing, though. I think it's a good thing to help, you know, keep some stress off of the players. Talk a little bit about, though, how the expanded roster is going to help the Braves real quick. Give the listeners a little bit of a rundown on that.
Well, I guess it doesn't really... It kind of helps the general manager and folks make some decisions, right? Because there was a lot of people who were going to make the team or not make the team. I mean, you didn't know who your third baseman was going to be. Now you can carry both Johan Camargo and Austin Riley. You got and Danny Echevarria who and Charlie Culberson. Those guys were both fighting for position. And now you can kind of stack your bullpen up and you can have multiple arms in the bullpen. That's the main thing that's so important is when you're playing all these games back to back to back to back, you got to have a deep pitching staff. And the Braves have so many names that you haven't might not have heard of. Patrick Wiggle's one of them. I think that's going to step up this year and be a force, hopefully, for the Braves if he comes out of the bullpen. So it's going to be interesting to see. The bullpen, I think, is going to play a big aspect of it. Hopefully Luke Jackson can stay out as long as possible. He doesn't have to pitch. But I think as far as just kind of helping make decisions of who to put on the team and who not to put on the team and kind of hurt people's feelings is kind of right. The best thing for the Braves.
And as far as the schedule is concerned, the good news is it's going to be equal for everybody.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And if you make the playoffs, you make the playoffs. It doesn't matter what your record is.
It's expanded. So they're going to have, right. I think, two or three extra teams per and then the whole wild card stuff. Mm-hmm. So they'll get all that stuff figured out.
And all you just got to get in. And so, right. You know, as long as the Braves are one of those top teams from their side of things, I think everything will be okay for them.
Yeah, we'll get more information on that and hopefully pass it along next week as soon as the Safety and Health Protocol Committee meet. So I guess technically, yes, baseball is back, but they still have to meet on some things and kind of cross some T's and dot some I's before baseball is truly back. But yes, baseball is back. But another thing that just was added yesterday, and of course we're recording this on Wednesday, so Tuesday, the NFHS and GHSA announced and decided to vote to add the shot clock to high school basketball. The reviews are kind of mixed, but the GHSA is going to be implementing it starting next year at specific tournaments and region tournaments. And then by the 2022 and 2023 seasons, that's when it will be in every high school gym across the state of Georgia. Coach, what are your thoughts about that?
So personally, I think anything that helps high school sports and athletes translate to the next level is a good thing. I think it's good to have the same set of rules that that colleges do, right? And so having a shot clock that mimics that of the college game is only going to help our athletes transition better, which means better opportunities at more places for the athletes from the state of Georgia. So I think that is that's an absolute positive for us. Is to have that going on. So, and it didn't hurt to have Tom Crean right down there advocating
Tom
for the shot
Crean,
clock.
Coach Sharman White from Pace Academy, Coach Roy Welsh, both those guys have, I think, 9 state championships combined from them in the state of Georgia. So a lot of big time coaches were there advocating it for the shot clock. And I'm going to read what our very own Coach Sean Thomaston, coach for the Carrollton Lady Trojans, I reached out to him to kind of ask what his opinions are, because obviously I think this helps players when they're transitioned to college, but this really plays a factor for your smaller schools. And this is what he's had to say. I'm a strong supporter of the shot clock. I understand some people's reservations, but I think our game is evolving. And yes, basketball has been one of the most evolving sports in our time, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the shot clock will help make our game even faster and more exciting than it has become already. I think about how our state is one of the top states for basketball talent in the country and how we are sending top kids to programs on the collegiate level already. And more importantly, they arrive game ready.
Right.
Because you play in a system where you run and pass the ball for a minute on offense, mm-hmm. you can't do that in college.
Right. And I'm not upset at the coaches that do that. They're taking advantage of the rules that are available to them.
Exactly.
And so it stinks for those people that now have to change. But, you know, it's the old say, you either evolve or you die.
Right. And continuing with Coach Sean Thomaston from the Lady Trojans, the shot clock will only further prepare kids for that. I think the shot clock will allow coaches to have more control at the end of game situationally. Excuse me. That's a big word. I think the clock may influence more man defense and presses, which that's huge. I think the defensive side of things will change a lot.
Mm-hmm.
With anything new, there will be adjustments, but I think in the long run, this change will be a huge positive. Some people were reluctant to embrace the three-point line years ago, but look at the impact it has on the game now. And I think it is no different. I know my team doesn't use 30 seconds to get a shot off. We either shoot it or turn it over before that. So that he makes a great point. If you really think about it, time is just a number, right?
It's just
a number. And if you've ever been to a high school basketball game and around this area, you know that they go back and forth.
Right.
There's probably not going to be many shot clock violations. It's mostly in your head.
It is. And I think it's something, and he said it in the quote there, is it's going to increase action. Okay, action is going to increase fan attendance. And so with that said, it's going to speed the game up. You know, the NFL has done some things similarly with rules helping out the offense in college football. The rules are so hard to set against the defense. It's ridiculous because people want to see points scored. You know, the zone read option with linemen 18 yards downfield and you can still throw the football is still, it's just the devil's work. But, you know, it's what people want to see. And so the shot clock's no different. But before we move on, there were actually a lot of things that got passed yesterday. The
shot
clock
ahead.
Just happened to be the biggest thing. This was the big motion that was passed. Is a proposal that the GHSA establishes a second dead week on the GHSA calendar, right? Which will start around Memorial Day in 2021. So there will be another dead week issued just like the 4th of July dead week where no work, no practice, no scrimmage can be done with GHSA coaches and players. There'll be another dead week passed, right?
Well, that was already pretty much in effect this year.
Right.
So, I mean,
it
shouldn't be too big of a deal next year.
Yeah, we're used to it at this point.
We've had a lot of dead weeks back to back.
Man, too many dead weeks. Let's see. They increased the junior varsity or sub-varsity teams. They can now play 70% of a varsity schedule, which was only 60%.
Wow.
So your JV teams, your ninth grade teams, your 10th grade teams are going to get more game situations, which will allow them to become better developed.
So they can play seven quarters now instead of six?
I don't know what the quarter ruling is going to be.
Yeah.
But as far as their game, I don't think it changes how many quarters in a week they can play. It changes how many games in their season they can play.
Gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's see. Baseball committee, they're going to eliminate the requirement of doubleheaders during the regular season. So you're no longer required to play a doubleheader during the regular season.
And a lot of times, I mean, you kind of have to play doubleheaders, especially with the smaller schools and they're so spread out. There's no point to go two hours to just play one game. And I mean, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So I'm assuming that the small schools will still kind of keep that doubleheader intact. I mean, the doubleheader
just
rule,
makes sense.
It just makes
you're gonna
sense.
You're going to do it in the playoffs. You're going to play a doubleheader in the playoffs.
Exactly.
You need to get ready for the playoffs. You need to play them during the regular season.
Exactly.
Let's see. Track here. Motion passed that each school can enter three athletes now in all 14 of the individual events at the area or qualifying track meet. And that passed unanimously. So more track athletes are going to get the opportunity to compete in more events.
GHSA is just staying busy.
All right. Again, staying with track, all area or region schools that are allowed only one relay team entry per relay event with eight names listed per relay. So what that means is you get your one, but you can have eight names listed in case someone, you know, has an unfortunate mishap during the day. You can be able to sub in a different runner on that one relay team.
So you can't have like a Carrollton 1 and a Carrollton 2 anymore.
Right. Not at your area, but you can have those eight names listed.
Gotcha.
Now, wrestling had a change in wrestling rule yesterday as well. Prior to this at the state tournament, if a young man does not pass the preliminary inspection, whether it's weight, skin checks, things like that, he could only have an alternate from his area or sectional take his place, and they've eliminated that verbiage, which should mean we shouldn't have any forfeits at the state tournament because we'll find somebody at his weight class, whether it's from his area or another area, to fill in that place.
Gotcha.
Which would eliminate a forfeit, which is what we all wanted to see. So listening to the wrestling community, so I thought that was positive. So anyways, a busy day at GHSA yesterday, and the best news about the entire meeting is it was all about sports and not about other things, right? Now they're going to have a meeting coming up, which will, you know, you alluded to it with baseball. They're going to have a meeting coming up and they're going to look at all the health risks and rewards and all those things and make the determination on what we're going to do moving forward. But the good news is this meeting was all about sports specific and promoting some guys and voting some guys into the subcommittee, and it was all sports. So I thought that was a positive.
Well, awesome. And coming up now, we'll get ready to interview Coach Katrina Sullivan and Coach Lauren Sanders from Bremen High School and Carrollton High School and their respective volleyball teams. That was a fun one, and here it is now. Joining us now, episode 15 it is, and we go to the Graddock Communications hotline. It's Coach Katrina Sullivan from the Bremen Blue Devils volleyball team, and we've got Coach Lauren Sanders, the head coach for the Carrollton Trojans volleyball team. How are y'all doing today, ladies?
We're doing good. Doing good.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have both of you guys on. I'm excited to have both of you on the podcast. I'm going to start you guys with the same question that I ask every single coach that we've interviewed in here on the podcast, which is, why do you do what you do? And so while you guys are thinking about that, I'll talk a little bit longer so that you can kind of ready yourself for your answer. But I want to know why you do what you do. The coach, the human being that's outside of the court, that's not represented in the box score or in a newspaper article, what do you want people to know about yourself and why do you do what you do? And we'll start with you, Coach Sanders, if you don't mind.
I just want to share my love of the game of volleyball to my players. I know how much the game of volleyball has meant to me since I've been playing since I was a freshman at high school. So I want to give that same love of the game to my players. I want to make it as fun as possible for them so it gives them something to enjoy during their high school career, because I know school can be stressful sometimes. So just a little stress reliever for them during the fall season. And so my big thing is just sharing the love of the game to them.
Awesome. Awesome. And Coach Sullivan, same question to you.
Pretty much the same thing. I love the sport, and I also know that extracurricular activities are just great for the students and the athletes. And I love, you know, being a part of their high school experience and helping them grow, hopefully, as a young lady and as a student.
Well, volleyball is such a growing sport. I feel like it's starting to gain more and more growth, especially from the rec departments. I see, you know, different camps are happening at a younger age now, and I know that's very helpful for y'all's programs going forward. I know Carrollton's program's a little bit older than Bremen's, but I want to hear how important it is for these kids coming through rec ball all the way to high school. How fun is it to get to work with them and the younger kids and have that translate over into high school? And we can start with Coach Sullivan.
I can definitely see, like, when I first started coaching, I guess that's been 9 years ago, you know, you would get a group of ninth graders coming in eighth grade. You were basically teaching every single skill set and working from there from day one. And now they come in and they're already able to do an approach and pass and play defense. And so it definitely helps you be able to move them along as a player, and it helps your whole team just make strides. So it's very beneficial, and we definitely appreciate everything the rec departments are doing and those coaches.
And Coach Sanders, if you could get the same question.
It definitely helps us out a lot, considering when I was a freshman here at Carrollton playing volleyball, we didn't really have a rec department team yet in volleyball, so we would get a lot of the younger kids who didn't really know, especially when I was growing up here in high school in my career. Most of the freshmen and sophomores, they didn't really know much about volleyball, but now being a coach on the other side, like Coach Sullivan said, we have a lot more players now. On my ninth grade team, we don't have to teach basic skills. We can go in to more running plays. And also, we just finished up with our kids camp this week, and we can definitely see the ones who have played at the rec department. They kind of know how to pass and the fundamentals of that. So we can start working more, moving more advanced stuff for them, which helps us out so that way when they do get up to high school and they are on from our junior high team up to our high school team, we can start working on plays and just more advanced stuff and not having to work on the simple stuff, the fundamentals.
So that's great information from both of you. And it kind of leads me into my next question. We both coach sports that are they're Olympic style sports, and they are much bigger in the Midwest and in the North than what they are the South. And you talked about having to develop some basic skills even into high school, right? Because it's growing. It's a growing sport in the South. And so my question is, you know, let the public know some things about volleyball that's either a misconception, right, or something that's a difficulty level, why the sport's so difficult and why you appreciate it so much. So, Coach Sanders, we'll start with you, the same question. So let some folks know, you know, what is it about volleyball that a lot of people misconceive, and what are some difficulties associated with it here in the South?
It definitely is. It's a newer sport, for sure, in the South than it has been in the West. So I think that's one of the things, and people are just afraid to try the new sport out because they're so used to softball. You know, softball's huge in the South. So I definitely think that hurts the sport of volleyball in a way. But one of the misconceptions I do believe a lot of people get is that you have to be tall. well, you know, you have to be able to jump. But that's not the case. I mean, I'm 5'2" and able to play volleyball. So there's definitely a lot of shorter people that are able to play the libero spot or able to play Diaz, able to pass. So I definitely think that's one of the misconceptions we do have. But I think it's just a slower sport in the making. We're definitely growing in the South, but we're just trying to get, and I know Bream is in the same spot, we're just trying to get volleyball more known here in the West Georgia area.
And Coach Sullivan, same thing to you. I know we got to work together at some point in time, and I know your philosophy is on hard work as well. And so if you could talk a little bit about that.
I think that, you know, coming off what Coach Linger says, there's the misconception about you need to be tall or you need to be, you know, just athletic. But it's a little bit of that, but it's mostly just being willing to put in some work and effort and coming into the gym every day. And I think, you know, everybody thinks you just go and keep the ball off the floor is the goal. But it's just like any other sport. You have to be able to get in the right position and you have to move your feet and you have to do all those little things right to be able to make a play. And so it's a lot more difficult than people can imagine. And the smallest little thing, if you don't have your feet set or if you're not, you know, got your shoulders turned just right, then you're going to shake the ball off. And errors occur very frequently in volleyball. And I think that's something that most people do not see, too, is you're going to make a lot of errors. And that's part of volleyball. But it's having that mindset to move forward in the next ball. And, okay, so what do we do now that happened?
I want to hear a little bit from both of y'all about your backgrounds in volleyball and what made you want to continue. Obviously, you played volleyball in the past, but what made you want to actually continue and coach volleyball? So, Coach Sanders, if you don't mind starting us off and talking about your volleyball career and what it was like playing in, on the first ever, I believe the first ever Carrollton team, if I'm not mistaken, and then now becoming the head coach of the Trojans.
Yes, sir. I did play on the first ever volleyball team at Carrollton my freshman year. So that is pretty neat to be back being the head coach here at Carrollton. And I went on to play at college ball at LaGrange College, played all 4 years there, and then decided to come back to Carrollton to be the head coach. So that's been just seeing the difference between college ball and high school ball is completely different. So it's a completely different mindset you have to have just because of the different levels college ball is at, but I definitely think it helps our high school teams out just because I have that mindset of where I know my seniors need to be by the end of their senior year in order to go play college ball. And I can tell a difference, and especially I have 5 seniors coming up this season, and I can tell a difference in their mindset they have compared to past seasons and like other seniors, especially when I was a senior at Carrollton. It wasn't the mindset, oh, I'm going to play volleyball in college. But now our seniors, that's what they want to do. They want to go off and they want to play volleyball in college. So I think having that mentality of that everyone that's coming through the Carrollton program, they're going to get a volleyball scholarship. So just changing our mindset a little bit. So I think that has helped a lot.
And Coach Sullivan?
Oh, I definitely went to a high school that volleyball had not started yet in the South. And so actually my first experience playing was in college. And that was quite the experience. I went to play softball and our coach at the time needed some extra volleyball players. And I showed up to try out for that because we were encouraged. And I definitely, it was a learning curve and a quick one because like Coach Sanders says, college volleyball is coming at you fast. But as the sport has grown throughout the high school and in Georgia, it's been great to watch and it's really fun to be a part of. And I just hope to continue to learn and to continue to teach those girls and us move forward together.
Well, one thing that both of you guys have both talked about is in the skill sets with volleyball, you've both touched on communication, right? And so I want to point out that's a big deal, obviously, in every sport, but really much more than I think people would understand in volleyball. And so I want you to speak to that, and then kind of that's going to segue us into what type of communication have you had with your teams during the pandemic, right? And how have you guys adjusted to what's going on, especially now getting released by GHSA to start using the same ball and move on and do some other things. So talk about how important communication is and what that communication with you and your team has been like over the last 8 weeks. Coach Sanders, I guess, is up.
Communication is definitely a huge part in volleyball. And just having that is, and it, that goes into your team chemistry. Like I said, we have a very strong leadership team this year. We have 5 seniors coming up for this upcoming season. So my seniors kind of lead our team. We've definitely been communicating a lot more in the spring season and this summer than we have in the past just because of what's going on with the virus. I mean, it has been difficult, but we had, starting off in our spring season, we had spring workouts that we did. So I communicated that with my players, and they kept in touch with me. They would send me pictures, videos of them doing the agility work. So they would keep me up to date what they were doing. And just building that relationship is very important, especially at the varsity level, because they have to be able to trust their coaches. And so I think building that trust with all your players builds into that communication part, as well as the parents too. Communicating with the parents, making sure they're on the same page as you, and they're willing to support every decision you make throughout the season. So we've been communicating a lot more than we have in the past, just because I want to keep my parents up to date. And thankfully, we are able to use volleyballs now and actually have a lot more than 20 people in the gym. So that's definitely helped us out a lot more. Parents are thrilled to get their kids out of the house a little bit.
Absolutely.
So it's been nice to see everyone back in the gym. But communication has played a big part of why I have so many kids wanting to get back in the gym.
And then Coach Sullivan, again, tell us about the communication during the games, during the practices, and what it's looked like during the pandemic.
So sometimes, you know, during a volleyball rally, even you might have to guard the ball 17 times in one, you know, possession. It's so much communication, and your team has to be comfortable and kind of you get that in practice and you drill and you make sure that everybody's comfortable with each other. And then you talk things out and you kind of learn to have some hard discussions and you have that teamwork, and it just kind of builds. I definitely think that communication is key, and it helps. And that even if it's not your typical personality off the court to be able to talk or to be outspoken, that when you're on the court, you have to, you know, take on that persona, and that just has to be part of your volleyball player repertoire. You're gonna have to talk.
It's awesome. Well, ladies, coming up next, next question is going to come from an in-guest invitee into the bunker. It is upcoming linebacker, senior linebacker for your Carrollton Trojans, and he's got a question going out to both of you. His name is Brock Bibby. So, Brock, what do you got?
Yes. So, who are your top leaders or best players that are coming back this year?
Coach Sullivan, why don't you keep us going?
Well, I will actually be the first year as a head coach at Bremen High School, and so we have not quite had our tryouts yet. We're going to go for a few open gyms, and we're going to start our tryouts actually July 13th. And so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing who steps up and takes on that leadership role. I know we have a lot of upcoming seniors, and I coached JV last year, and so I was not really day in and day out a part of those practices with the seniors and juniors that will be coming up and playing. And so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing who that's going to be and who steps up into that role.
So unproven yet, but they're on the way. Coach Sanders, what do we got coming back to Trojan Nation?
I have 5 seniors coming back this year, and I wouldn't necessarily say I have one best player or 2 or 3 best players. I believe every single person on my varsity team is our best player, because they wouldn't be on varsity if they weren't a good player. So, but my 5 seniors are definitely leaders for this team, and they're definitely going to lead us far into the playoffs this season. And like Coach Hilton said, we aren't able to have tryouts yet, so our varsity is still unknown. But my 5 seniors this year: Riley Wallace, McKinley Moreland, Natalie Davis, Robin Blackman, and Maddie Mount are definitely going to be our top leaders this season for us.
Well, thank you all so much, coaches, for coming on the Graddock Sports Weekly podcast with us. And we look forward to the fall. Obviously, football's big around these parts, but volleyball is growing ever so. And we can't wait to hear how the Blue Devils and the Trojans do on the volleyball court this year. Whenever y'all get them, send your schedules over to Graddock Sports. We'll love to post them and maybe even come out to some games and cover them.
Sounds great. We appreciate you guys taking your time and letting us join, and we look forward to this fall and season, and we hope it's a great one. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much.
Definitely enjoyed the interviews with Coach Sullivan from Bremen and Coach Sanders from Carrollton. We appreciate their time. And let's move on now to talk to senior linebacker and Trojan wrestler, Brock Bibby. Joining us now on episode 15 of the Graddick Sports Weekly podcast here in the beautiful Parkwood Studios is senior linebacker for the Carrollton Trojans and a Trojan grappler, I might add. I got to throw that in there for Coach White. He might kill me over there. Is Brock Bibby. Brock, how's it going, man? How's life been in the pandemic? We'll just go ahead and get right into it.
It's been going real good. You know, nothing's changed. Still doing my daily task, working out, going to work every day, right after football practice, working about 6 hours a day, and yeah, just getting stuff done.
And so prior to all that, when the pandemic first hit, guys, Brock's a champion. For those of you that don't know him, he acts like a champion on and off of the competition field and surfaces. Before that went down, before you were able to come back to the school to work out, you were still working out, right?
Yes, I was.
And so, we talk about this all the time. You've heard it in the room, champions adjust, right? So talk to us about what you were doing to work out, even though there was no gym available for you to lift in.
Well, there actually is for me. I have my dad, I'm very blessed to have a dad that has a, you know, good income and everything. And we have like our own gym.
Not po like I was.
we have like, you know, a nice little gym downstairs, and I use that a lot. And, you know, nothing's really changed for me. Still getting my daily lifts.
So say you look like you've put on some weight. I know we talked in the pre-show about, you know, losing some weight and stuff to get ready to go whip up on some folks during the wintertime. Yes. Look like you've put on some good solid weight. What are you up to right now?
About 215 right now.
215 pounds of twisted steel, baby.
You're going to have to work that off here in about six months.
No. He will be able to max out at 223 pounds this year.
Oh, you're heavyweight this year?
No. Right a shade under, just a shade under.
I'm sorry. I don't know anything about wrestling.
Before it comes around, we will get you schooled up on the things.
Yes. I can't wait. I can't wait to learn. But Brock, I want to hear this defense, man, is going to be possibly one of the best to ever come through Carrollton, on paper at least. You still got to go out there and play. Yes, I mean, the games have to be played. Mm-hmm. But statistically, and just looking at it on paper, it's one of the best defenses that this West Georgia area has ever seen.
Yes.
So talk about what it's like being around these guys. Or some obviously haven't been able to hang out with as much of the new guys as possible. But just talk about your position group, this linebacker group that you're in with Chaz and Jared and all these guys. And also I want you to talk a little bit about Coach Keith and Coach Simmons.
Okay. Yes. I'm around a lot of elite players, you know. Chaz going to Georgia. You got Chief going to Florida.
The other school.
Yeah, the other school. And you got Jared, he's going to Memphis. And, you know, just being around those guys, it kind of like pushes me to be better. I don't want to be like the odd man out. I want to be, you know, I want to be the guy. And just being around those guys really pushes me and makes me a better player and really makes me step up and be a leader and everything like that.
And that's 100% right. And you're not the odd man out, okay? If somebody knows you and has watched you play, you're not the odd man out. So I'm going to ask you that tough question because I know you don't like to talk about yourself. You're a humble young man. I'm going to ask you, what is it that when you go, because me and you have talked about this, I'm your wrestling coach, and you want to play college football.
Yes.
Man, that's what you're going to do. You're going to play college football. So when you do determine where you're going to play, what are they getting in Brock Bibby as a football player?
They are getting a very loyal, smart, hardworking, hard-nosed, and a very respectable player on and off the field.
I'd have to completely and totally agree with that. In the last couple of years, being able to coach you, and we talked about this in the pre-show also, is the term throwback. Tackle to tackle, this guy's going to be where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there. And this will lead into that second part that Matt just asked you, talking about Coach Keith and Coach Simmons. When your two position coaches, your defensive coordinator, mm-hmm. your position coach,
yes.
they've coached at the highest levels. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Simmons coaching, winning national title at Valdosta State. Coach Keith being, the all-time leading tackler at mm-hmm. Central Michigan, and the insights that they give you. Talk about how they have helped you become a better football player.
Coach Keith, you know, he's helped me out a lot. You know, he's just being the great player that he is and everything. He's really taught me a lot with film, watching film, learning tendencies, if the lineman's hand's heavy, you know, if he's going to down block, he's going to pull, if his hand's light, with wide receivers and everything like that, their inside foot's up, their outside foot's up, what routes they're going to run, everything like that. And just like, you know, it's easy, it comes easy on Friday nights because during the week you get blasted all week. You get blasted every week.
So give me an example last year when you lined up and it's pre-snap and you saw a certain motion or a certain stance by an offensive line. Give me an example last year of a game and a situation where you were able to pre-snap, say, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be here. And it all worked out.
Okay. So we can go Rome game. So we were, I saw the a lineman's hand was pretty light. And I was like, okay, so we know probably Buck Sweet's coming if he's going to pull out. And I looked on the other lineman, and his hand was light too. So I was like, okay, so both linemen are going to pull. They got to either pull each way. And they both pulled right, and it was Buck Sweet right. And I just knew, like, pre-snap, like, okay, that's where the ball's going. And, yeah.
That's a great read. And you're continuing with Coach Keith. He moved down to the sideline this past year. Yes. He's been up in the booth. And let me tell you, that man is crazy up in the booth because he can see the whole field. Mm-hmm. But talk about what he's brought to the field. I mean, the intensity. And I know Coach Simmons likes to be up in the booth, so it was kind of a great transition for the both coaches.
Yes. Coach Keith, he's very smart. Very, very smart. He picks up stuff way before we do. He watches a lot of film. He says that I believe this wholeheartedly, too. He says he watches the game three times. If he's watching film with the other team, he watches the game three times. And the first one, he'll just watch it through. And the second one, he'll start looking at, like, the tendencies and everything like that. And the third time, he'll, like, start writing down the plays they run and everything like that. And when he's on, like, the sideline and everything, it's, you know, he just picks up a lot of stuff and helps us out and everything like that. And even, like, with the lineman's hands, he'll see it on the sideline. He'll see, like, that guy's hands light. Or this receiver's, if he's going to run this route, he has his foot up and everything like that. It just really helps us out a lot, and, you know, it just helps out a lot.
And I feel bad for a lot of people that don't get to play defense in high school. I can tell you that my high school defensive coordinator, if anybody's listening to this that knows Bubba May, that may be the best defensive coordinator in the history of football. But pre-huddle, by the way, we didn't have a machine that could break this down. We would come in on Sundays, and he would have every first down play listed, second long, second medium, second short, third, and for every format. He had all that done by hand.
Coach Keith does that too.
Right, to give out to us. Yes. And that's what I'm getting to is with Coach Keith and Coach Simmons, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Mm-hmm. And defensive coordinators get that as much as anybody. They understand that preparation can win a game, can lose a game. You not making the pre-snap read on Buck Sweet, that play could have went for 80 yards and been the deciding factor. So talk about what Coach Simmons brings to the game in the preparation side and being the calmer guy up in the booth.
Oh, yeah, Coach Simmons, I wouldn't say he was the calmer guy, but, you know, he's a little bit
calmer. He's the cerebral assassin.
Yeah, he's a little bit more calmer than Coach Keith, but Coach Simmons, he's very smart, too. He's extremely smart. He picks up a lot of stuff. You know, when we come in Sundays and everything, we go in there and watch film. He shows us all their tendencies and, you know, just like simple little things that you wouldn't normally look at. And, you know, he's just like a really good friend of mine. You know, he's like a brother. And it's easy to talk to him and everything like that. And he just really helps us out a lot.
Switching gears a little bit, Brock, go to the grappling into the wrestling side of things.
And I didn't even bring this up.
I'm bringing it up because, I mean, I want to hear a good Coach White story. I want to hear all about Coach White, what he means to you. And talk about the team because going for hopefully a team championship this year.
Well, starting off with Coach White. Coach White, he is really like a brother to me. You know, I can talk to him about everything. He's just always, you know, by my side and just with me with everything and, like, gives me good game plans whenever I go into matches and everything. Going into my sophomore year, he really, like, helped me out a lot. Because I wouldn't say I was that solid of a wrestler sophomore year. But with, like, his game plan, because I was a smaller 220, you'd say. Mm-hmm. And I would just tire these guys out and get them the third period and wear them down. But talking about the team, we got some good guys coming back. We got Nate Butler, Scott Lofton, Shaquan. Who else?
I would say you're okay.
Yeah, I'd say I'm all right. But, you know.
He's a humble guy. Yeah. Yes. Trying to be humble. Yes.
We got Cameron Bunce coming back. Mm-hmm. He'll be a good one for us. And hopefully we'll get Jared back out there.
Jared and Hector and some of those guys. And so you were a part of a team that for all the research I've been able to find, beat Cass for the first time in school history, qualified for the state duels for the first time since you've been in high school.
Yes.
And so talk about some of the chemistry there. And for me, it's all about, I don't do anything special. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys put all the work into it and you guys are the ones that deserve all of that credit. So talk a little bit about what it means to be able to build a team in wrestling and why, what's a little bit different. What are the differences between the wrestling camaraderie as opposed to football?
Well, like wrestling, you know, you're hands-on, you know, always hands-on. That's what it is. But it's just like a little bit different. You're always with each other, like Saturdays, you're with each other the whole day. And so, like, you know, you're not really forced to talk to them, but it's like those are your guys. And you, once that relationship's built over time, like you're counting on that guy and they'll count on you. They got your back, you got their back. And, you know, just building this year, it was a lot different from the other past years because we just felt like everybody had each other's back. And if you go down, like, we're going to pick you back up and everything like that. It was just a lot different than the other past years, yeah.
I'd have to agree with you on that. It was the team atmosphere this year, I felt like, was much better than, you know, the first year. And I'm hoping the team atmosphere this year is better than the one last year.
Yes.
Last thing I'll bring up and turn it back over to Matt is when we're talking about wrestling and how it translates into football, you know, you're 215, 220 pounds. You're going to have to tackle somebody that's 230 pounds. You're going to have to tackle somebody that's 240 pounds. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to bring a guy down. You're going to, it's all about playing to your strengths.
Yes.
And you talked about being a lighter 220 as a sophomore, right? Mm-hmm. We had to do things that played to your strengths.
Yes.
And so talk about some of the things that have happened, and it can be specific in wrestling that helps translate to your success on Friday nights.
Well, in wrestling, you got to be able to lift people, these big guys up and everything like that, and using your hips, and it really helps out with your hips a lot. And whenever, you know, you go hit a 240 guy, it's really not like a shock to me because, I mean, I wrestle with a 240 guy every day.
Right.
And it's not really a shock to me. And it's just like hitting a little guy. And it's just like in wrestling helps out a lot with your hands and just getting people off of you and stuff like that. And that's what really I think helps me get off blocks and everything. And you can like, and you're like mentality when it comes to stuff. It's just like it whenever you wrestle, everything else in life is easy. And
great quote.
especially like when I go to football practice and everything, like this is like a breeze compared to wrestling, you know, and it's just ridiculous, but
it's a great
it's
quote.
Really true.
It's a great
I quote. Gotta get to a wrestling practice because I don't know about you, but football practice was a little rough when
open door love for you to come cover a wrestling practice.
All right, two questions for me and then I'll turn it over to Coach White if he's got anything, and we'll get you out of here, Brock, but two kind of fun questions. One, who is the hardest person that you've ever had to tackle? Could it be another team or could it be on your own team? So I'll start with that one. I'll let you go ahead.
Okay. My sophomore year when we were facing Rome, I had to tackle Jemias Griffith.
It's okay.
That was a dude. That was
he's okay, right?
He went to Georgia Tech. That was a dude. He was fast. I remember this one time, not to embarrass myself or anything, but I hit this guard and this guy, and I kind of like went down on my knee. He just came right over my shoulder. And I tackled him and everything, but I just like remember like getting up like, wow, that was a dude because he was a big old guy.
Yes, he is.
Huge.
And he's going to be a star hopefully at Georgia Tech this year for my Georgia Tech friends out there. And then finally, I know we talked a little bit in there earlier on the pre-show, which if you didn't if you missed the pre-show with Brock earlier, it's on our Graddock Sports Facebook page, so go back and watch that. But baseball, you want to chime off on the Braves any real quick? Are you excited baseball's coming back, or could you care less?
I mean, I'm not a big baseball guy, but, you know, ready to see him play and everything, see Ronald Acuna.
I'm going to tell you this. I have not met a high school young person that can throw a dodgeball as hard as Brock Bibby.
Oh, wow.
So if the Braves are struggling to bring a closer in this year, need somebody that just comes in and throws some cheese, give a boy a call.
Well, or Scott Johnson. Can we not just call it Scott Johnson?
That's true.
He's actually got eligibility with Scott Johnson. He's got to get an agent. And then once he gets an agent, he can't do anything.
Yeah, you were a baseballer for a while, right?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I played it all the way up to my seventh grade year. Yep.
Well, so what's your Braves prediction? World Series or no World Series?
Ooh, I'm hoping for a World Series, but you know.
Hey, look, man, this is radio. What's your prediction?
Yeah.
World Series or no?
I think they're gonna win the World Series.
They're gonna win it. Yeah. He didn't say just go. They're gonna win it
first.
They're gonna win it. Brock Bibby, first prediction, official Graddock Sports prediction. Brock Bibby, Braves World Series champs.
You got anything else, Coach?
No, man. I am super thankful and super blessed to have Brock come in today. Again, one of my favorite young men that I've been able to be around at Carrollton. Wish him nothing but the best and looking forward to an amazing senior season.
Thank you, Brock, for coming in the studio. We enjoyed the pre-show, which you can catch on our Graddock Sports Facebook page. Just, you know, type in Graddock Sports on the Facebook and click on the page, and it should be right there. It's one of the top videos. Brock's a great kid, and you get to work with him every day, so I know that that's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. He absolutely has made my he's made my transition into becoming a Trojan a lot easier when you get to work with young men like Brock who just bring a lunch pail to work every day and say, Coach, what do you need me to do? I'm going to go over there. I'm going to do it 1,000 times until you tell me to stop. That he just makes your life, he makes your job a lot easier, and I know he does the same thing with Coach Calhoun and Coach Simmons on the football field on Friday night.
Well, we are 15 episodes down.
Wow.
And a lifetime to go. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, guys, you're in it. If you're in with us now, just think about a couple hundred episodes from now, and you can say, oh, yeah, I started listening to those guys way back in 2020.
Yeah, episode 20 is right around the corner, and that's when we get to hear from you guys. We already made a pact that we're going to take phone calls every 10 episodes. So go ahead and start thinking of your questions. But you can also send questions or comments or anything to our Graddick Sports Messenger or DM us on Twitter. And Coach White, what's your Facebook and Twitter information?
All right. Well, on Facebook, it's actually just my name. You can search Nick White on Facebook. I am not on there very often. If I'm on there, it's to promote Carrollton Trojan Wrestling 99% of the time.
And Graddick Sports Weekly.
And Graddick Sports Weekly. That is correct. It's to promote those things. Very few personal things I share on the Facebook now. But my Twitter handle, primarily used for obviously some personal enjoyment, but recruiting and following sports, you can follow me at White Nick and then the number 20 at White Nick 20 on Twitter. And I'm not really into the gram, so don't worry about the gram. You might have the gram.
I do have the gram, but I don't really post on the gram at all. But Twitter, skinman_77. Give us a follow at Graddick Sports as well. We'd love to keep you informed on all of your sports needs. And we're about to get sports back in just under a month. We'll have, of course, baseball back. Soccer will be back soon, and we'll start talking a little bit more about that next week. We're going to miss Coach White next week. Hope to get Billy back in here. But until then, for Coach Nick White, I'm Matt Skinner. Saying so long from episode 15 of the Graddick Sports Weekly Podcast.